Okay, this is Bob Stone for Florida Folk Life. It's June the 29th. I'm in Homestead with Tom Granato. We're talking about the Serenatas and the apprenticeship program. Okay, so is there something more we wanted to say about Serenatas?
Well, I can't remember now what it was. I was trying to. I had something, but I lost it.
Well,
maybe I'll remember later.
Yeah, and we can always talk on the phone if we need to or whatever. Let's talk about the apprenticeship stuff. And tell me, what do you think about, it's almost over. What's it been like for you? Have you enjoyed it? Any surprises? Or, just tell me.
Well, first of all, I was very... how can I put it? I really didn't know what to expect, really. In a way, I was hoping that we were have the people accept us, and but at the same time, I was thinking that maybe they wouldn't like our music.
You mean when you went to the festival?
Right, when we went to the festival, and. And so I was really surprised at the interest in the people and the kids and just the people in general, and not just them, but also the people like you and who work there and the rest of the people, the staff. I felt like we were treated very, very nicely. But before that, when we first, when you first came to see us about, applying for it, I was nervous. I really couldn't think of, what I had coming for me, in the future, So it was nerve-wracking because I was so, I'm the type that I want to be ready for anything, but I want to be prepared, And so I just didn't know how to prepare for this, really, because
it was unknown.
Right. It was something that I didn't have control over, mm-hmm. in a way. So, but after we got there, and especially after Friday night when we played the first time, I think that was the worst thing that I felt. But afterwards. I felt so good that, and I think Abraham did too, because we were just so tense because of being in a place where we weren't sure if they were gonna accept our music, or we weren't sure if we were break down with nerves or whatever, and so that was our main. Obstacle right there, uh-huh. and once we did it, we played Friday night. Afterwards, we had fun,
uh-huh.
yeah, uh-huh. because that first day was murder. But after that, we had fun.
Yeah, you didn't know what to expect.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, and how about do you feel? How about the people around here? In your own community, been on the radio and TV and newspapers, a couple of newspapers. Do you feel like maybe the music is a little more appreciated around here, or do you think it's made any difference? Or
yes, I think so. I think it made a difference. But first of all, before I go into that, I think I was surprised at the reaction to the community, the people who knew us, who knew me and who knew Abraham, when it first was mentioned over the radio, when you talked to Chachis.
Yeah.
After that, people started. Calling us and coming by and trying to find out more about it, and they thought it was an award that we had won or something. And I had
well, in a sense, it is.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I had to sort of explain to them that it wasn't an award. It was something that we were invited to, and we applied for it, and we were going to do. I explained the process or what the apprenticeship was, and the as best as I could, because I wasn't too sure at the moment. Anyway, I had an idea, but then after that, we had the newspaper call us, Miami Herald, and they did that piece on us, and when they. Since I know Alfredo from the radio station, and when he heard about that on the radio first, then he told me that even before the article came out, that before we even knew about the article, we hadn't even been asked about it. He said, well, it's a good idea, that or it's a good thing that we're going, and he congratulated us, and then he said, yeah, but it'd be nice if you can come to the radio station and talk about it, so people can have a, because he had the wrong idea for it, of the festival too, and so I explained it to him, and he said, well, the best thing for you to do is why don't you come and we'll do an interview over the radio live. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, let me get my facts together and everything, get prepared for it, and I'll let you know, and we'll do it. But in the meantime, the newspaper called, and they wanted to do an interview on us too, and about the festival and about what we were going to be doing, and our music and our history, a little bit of history about it, and sort of that sort of stuff. So when this came out, then I called Alfredo, and I told him that this was coming out, and if he wanted to know a little bit more, he could read it in papers, just in case he didn't get the paper, so he would get it, And so he did. He got the paper, and he sort of read parts of the article over the radio, and then. That same week, that was on a Thursday that came out, we set up a date to come to do the interview on the radio, which was Saturday, after the article had come out on Thursday. And a lot of people, like I said, wanted to thank us, not thank us, but congratulate us, for being accepted and being able to do it, or to be in this program. And when I went to the radio station, I think that was one of the things I wanted to say to the public, was that, and which was what I said, that I wanted to thank them for their support and, for listening to us on the radio while we were doing that interview, and also I kind of promised them, not promised them, but I promised them that we were going to do the best we can to represent our community, and because it wasn't just for us, it was for our community, and I wanted them to feel like it was for everybody, not just for us, and so I wanted to thank them for their support, and that we were going to do our best to play our music and represent our music at the festival, and it was that was from my heart, really, because that's I really believe that,
and well,
I still
you did.
Yeah.
You did, yeah. It's great. It's been.
And if you need I recorded it. If you need that, I have it on tape.
Yeah, I'd love to have that.
Okay.
I'd love to have that. The radio interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll make a note of it so you don't forget. Yeah. Yeah, it's all good documentation. And, That's just great what you just said, because that's, you know, that's part of why the program exists.
Right.
Why this state has it, why the National Endowment for the Arts supports it. You know, it's like we were talking the other day. Sometimes people don't appreciate themselves.
Right.
So it's nice to be involved in honoring somebody that you have an appreciation, and it helps you appreciate yourself more, and helps others appreciate themselves.
Right. And it benefits everybody. It benefits the community, and it benefits your family, and in a way, it affects people that, you know, you might not know that it does, that it did, or that it would, and that's gratifying to know too, you know. Not that I know anything, you know, about it, but I know it does, because when I, especially, you know, I'm talking about now something else, but when I hear something that somebody else did, you know, in the community, that is good, that is something good, then I feel good, you know, because they did it, and it's sort of like I'm trying to show support in a way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. And that's the way I feel that they did for us, you know.
Uh-huh. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real nice. Yeah, and the festival's a nice part of it too, I think.
Oh yeah.
What did you think about it? I bet you had surprises up there as things you didn't know even existed. You saw.
Yeah. There was a lot of interesting things. Well, you know, the most important thing for us was meeting the people and
sitting out there on the front
right,
porch, yeah.
and enjoying you know their interest, you know, in the accordion, in the music, and when they asked us to play, then, you know, we would play, but also we enjoyed the other part of the festival where we went, and we didn't have too much time, of course, to be able to go out and look at the old festival. But when we had a chance, we tried to look as much as we could. But I think what we enjoyed most of it was the music, the dancing, because we had never danced. You know, square dance or any type of those dances that were danced there. You know, when they were doing it at the stage three, and in a way, it felt like we were at a big family. You know, big family gathering sort of, and like I said before, you know, I think the people were very nice. To us, and we would try to be, you know, answer their questions with you know, as pleasant and you know, as we could, and try to help them understand our music and our culture a little bit better, and we enjoyed it, really enjoyed being there and being part of it, and I think getting back to that question you said earlier, to me, I think they accepted us, and I think this state, and not just this state, but I'm talking about the state because we live in the state of Florida, and I think the state is gonna be more of a multicultural than it was before.
Yeah,
I think so, and I really feel that, you know, I just feel so good about everything that's happened to us lately, especially since the festival. But because of the festival, we've been, you know, able to represent our music and show other people, other nationalities, what you know, that they can have fun with our music too, you know, mm-hmm. and enjoy it just yeah. just as well as any other music. And I think what I enjoyed the most too was the Cajun music. Yeah, yeah. I fell in love with that accordion, so I'm
gonna have to get one.
Yeah, I'm gonna get one.
Let me. I was just thinking. Let's go back to the music itself, the Norteño music. Now you grew up, but you were born in Michigan. So yeah. Your family was migrating,
yeah.
Working in farming, but you would hear this music wherever you went as a young boy, as you went to the different states working.
Yeah.
Wherever there were Mexican people, you would hear the music. Is that
right? The thing is that when we traveled, we didn't have too much of a. Because we were in different places short times, there wasn't really that much to do. So the first thing that would come to our minds was our music, you know, because we would bring our music with us, you know, our tapes, our records. Well, back then it was our records in the 60s. And so we would bring our music with us, and so we would have our gatherings, if you want to call it that, or whatever, and even up there, when we went up there, a lot of these promoters who make dances down here or in different parts of the country, they know, because they would have a background of their own, being migrants or whatever. So they would know, or if they were in the business of always following the people around the different states mm-hmm. they went to, so they would say, okay, the crops right now are in palmetto. Okay, we're going to make dances over there for the people. Uh-huh. Right. Of course, it was business, but also it was part of our culture, mm-hmm. you know, because that's the, one of the biggest parts is the dances in our uh-huh. culture. So then from there, let's say we went to Michigan. And I remember we used to go to, we used to live in a small city, a town, right? Actually, it's very small, like a one store.
What was the name?
Cote Mitch, Michigan. And we used to go up there and pick strawberries.
Uh-huh.
And the farmer was real nice. And they were nice people. And so, we would travel long distance to get to the dances, and the dance.
Long distance.
Well, I don't have a figure, like say 60 or 70 miles, but I would say
like
something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was to Traverse City,
uh-huh.
which was a big city,
uh-huh.
and so we would go to there, to Traverse City, and to the dances. And then there was another city close to there. It was closer to Cote Mitch. It was a lot closer, Bear Lake. And they had a theater, a Spanish theater. They show Spanish, Mexican movies.
Uh-huh.
And so in between the, they would have like a double feature.
Mm-hmm.
In between the first movie, they would have a live band play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they would play like for half an hour or whatever. And then after that, they would start the next movie. And
that would be a Norteño band?
Usually yes. Most of the time it
Korean
would be.
And a bajo,
right.
And what, bass and drums?
Yeah, and drums, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Those are the four major
instruments. And it's almost always two voices?
Yeah, most of the time it is. Usually
ever?
It is. And sometimes it's even more than that.
Yeah, sometimes
three.
Even three, yeah.
Yeah, three voices, yeah. Or they combine, take turns, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But so the music was always with us where we went, whether it was our records or tapes afterwards, but it was always with us, and so that was a big part. And I remember, you know, we used to go out there, we didn't have like luxuries because we were poor. I mean, if you go out to one of these labor camps or the camps where we used to go, you know, you can't expect too much. And so, but we try to have fun as much as we could, and especially, and one of the biggest parts was the music. So we would have if we have a little dance or whatever. Like I remember one time we had this quinceañera, this 15, mm-hmm. sweet 15. Heck, we were out there dancing in bare ground, you know, mm-hmm. and it was dust flying all over, but we were dancing. So that was sort of nice because it was a very natural thing, you know, and that's sort of the way it was done back in Mexico, and it still is today, uh-huh. you know, because they don't, you know, of course, a lot of things has changed, but still, the family type dance or gathering is usually at a home, at a ranch, you know, and it's you know, it's done out there in the bare ground, or if they have something to put there, they'll put it. But most of the time, it's just out there in front of their yard or mm-hmm. part of their home. So, you know, for us, it was natural. Uh-huh. It was natural to just dance anywhere. And music, like I said before, was our biggest entertainment, social event.
So your dad wasn't a musician?
No, my dad was not a musician. He was a lover of music.
Uh-huh. You heard it a lot.
Yes. And
Would he take you to dances when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. I wish he didn't. especially after I started learning the accordion. Because he would, what he'd do was, he would go up to the musicians and say, I want my son to play. Could you let him? Would you let him? He wouldn't demand, but he would ask him. You know, would you let him play at least one polka or whatever? You know, and most of the groups they would. You know, I was never turned down because you know I was a kid, and when you're a kid, they tend to treat you a little different. You know, from an adult. You know, and so. And that's what I didn't like because, you know, I was only learning and being in front of all those people, you know, it was like, wow, man. And then he would do sometimes because, well, you know, part of our culture, a lot of our, a big part of our culture is that there's a lot of drinking, a lot of beer, a lot of, you know, borrachos. And parrandas, what they call parrandas. And so if you can learn some Spanish and some of those songs, when you listen to those tapes, you'll hear all that parranda, the me tomé, and drinking and all this, and that's part of it. So my dad was, you know, he liked to drink, and he liked to get with his friends and you know, just drink. And sometimes he would call me to come and play for him. And you know, I would have to play by myself with just the accordion. Of course, I didn't know that much anyway, but still. It was just part of, I think it was just part of his way of, you know, showing me off as his son,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And I didn't look at it that way back then, but now that I look at it as an adult, you know, it was just like, you know, my son can play accordion, you know, and here he is, you know.
Yeah.
Sure. Sort of in that aspect. But my father was, he never played music. And like I said before, he loved music. He always had music, no matter what. And I don't know, I don't even remember. The only thing I remember when he first bought me the accordion is that I remember going to this, he took me to the store, and it was right down the street from here. And when he bought me my first accordion, it was a Hohner accordion. And that store was like sort of like in the old days, like a general store sort of.
What was it? You remember the name of it?
Yeah, it's Burrell's.
Yeah.
Well, they have Burrell's right here. Yeah. Okay. And back then, they didn't have the furniture, of course. They had the they had men's clothes, and mostly it was men's clothes, and they had few instruments. I don't know if you met or knew Chuck Atkins from.
Yeah.
Yeah, you, okay.
Chuck, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, he was a salesman for Burrell's.
Right, I remember.
Okay.
See, I used to come to Homestead.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's right, because you lived down here. That's right. Okay, so anyway, that's when I was only a kid.
Sold jewelry, too.
Yeah, jewelry and clothing, and and they sell the instruments. Of course, they only had like a small section of everything, you know. I don't remember exactly what else they sold, but I knew they sold clothing. And
so how old were you then?
I was 10 years old. It was in, I think it was 1965 or 66, something like that. And that's the first time I ever saw Chuck. And because he's the one that sold us the accordion. And after that, you know, my dad, he bought me the accordion first, but he already had plans. So he bought a drum set for my cousin, and a guitar for my other cousin. They were all three brothers from my uncle's family, and he bought the other one a bass. And out of all of us, only me and one of them became musicians, the other ones. And my other cousin, who he learned a little bit of accordion, but he plays the piano accordion, and because he plays little keyboards too. And he was the one that was supposed to be playing the guitar, which he does know a little bit about it. But he really didn't, you know, take it any further than that. He just kind of stayed there. And so, you know, that's how it all started. And, you know, I was looking through some pictures about 2 weeks ago or something like that. My mom had a small luggage, old pictures, and I didn't know they had taken pictures of that time when my dad bought us the drum set and the accordion.
Yeah.
Yep. I got them.
That's great.
I got them, and there's like three or four pictures of us, and with my cousins, you know, and we didn't know anything, of course, because that was the day they bought the stuff, and we were just standing with the stuff, you know, with the instruments. I had my accordion, and they were with the drum set and the guitar and everything.
Was it at three rows?
Yeah.
Accordion?
Mm-hmm.
So
three rows.
Started right away on three rows.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, it's never been anything else but a three row. I know that there's two rows, and some people play the two row, but you know, most of the time, or just about every time we saw a group, they had a three row. So that was natural for my dad to buy a three-row accordion. Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to buy you a two-row or whatever. Uh-huh. No, it was a three-row. It had to be
that's
a three-row.
Right. Yeah, was it.
Yeah.
The thing to have, yeah.
So, you know, that's how it all got started. And you know, my father always, you know, tried to encourage me as much as he could and in his own way, you know, but he never did push me or did scold me or anything for not learning or not learning quick enough or anything. I can't remember any time that he did that. Most of the time it was basically on my own, you know. He just let me have it. And
was there anybody you could go to get any help, or did you just have to figure it out? Or?
No, I tried to find, you know, because the first year was hard, you know, since I didn't have anybody to teach me. The first year was kind of hard, so it got frustrating after a while because, you know, I couldn't get anything out of it. So the second year, I sort of just left it underneath my bed for a while. And then, I don't know, I just all of a sudden, I took it out and started listening to records. Back then, you know, it was just records. So I would put, I had a little phonograph, a small phonograph, and I would put my 45s on there. and just try to imitate the music. So,
of course, half the time they were in the wrong key.
Yeah, yeah. But what I try to do most of the time is I would try to get songs that were on the same key.
Uh-huh.
That way I could, you know, fall, if I could tell if I was wrong or right, you know.
Right, yeah.
And so that's what I started to do. Of course, and I didn't know what was the key either. I didn't know what was G, C, F or anything. All I knew was that, you know, if it sounded in the same tone, then it was right. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had anybody to teach me to say, well, do it this way or this way it's better. It's a lot easier. I never had anybody. Later on, after I had already become a musician and I had my own band and everything, I had a friend who I met excuse me.
You were saying after you already knew how to play.
Yeah, one time we were up north playing, because we made a band in 1970 with some cousins. They came from San Antonio to work for my dad. His family did, you know, and his sons played music. And they had already played before, so they were a few years older than I was. Anyway, so we made a band. That was the first band we made. And they went up north with us to Indiana. And actually, it was right at the borderline of Indiana and Ohio. It was Union City, Indiana, they called it, but it was both. And we went to play at this quinceañera at one of the ranches close by, because there was a lot of, you know, different people from who worked for a different crew leader, but they were close by, you know. So they were having a quince party, and we went to play there. They asked us to go, so we went. It was a Saturday night, and this guy, he used to play with a band in Texas, and he was good. But what happened was, there one night they were playing, or they were coming back from a gig, and their car or their station wagon got on fire, and their old instruments broke, were destroyed. So he was out of the band. So anyway, so he was working for this guy up in Indiana. You know, in the tomato fields like we were. And so he came by, when we were playing, he came up to us and said, you know, could I play a couple with you guys? I said, sure. And I gave him the accordion. I went and danced. So anyway, from then on, we became friends. And
what
then
was his name?
Juan Chapa. And he lives in what is it? It's not Waco. It's out in the valley too, in Texas, West Laco, Texas. And anyway, so we became friends, and we sort of kept in touch because he played. After that, we asked him to play with us.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I wasn't that good anyway at the time, and you know, I was just learning. I only had like,
how old were you then?
I was only 15.
Uh-huh.
15 years old. Yeah, it was 1970. So we asked him, and so that the time that we were there working, which was like maybe 2 or 3 months, you know, he played the rest of the time with us at the dances, the local dances they were having in Marion, Indiana. That was one of the big cities that would have dances. People would go there, you know. Marion, Indiana, and other cities around there. South Bend, we went to South Bend one time, I think. So anyway, we became friends, and later on, when he went back to Texas, because we didn't see him anymore after that, he got into a band with the Los Hermanos Banda. They're from Mexico, but they came over to Texas. And they also lived there in West Laco, Texas. So they were contracted to come down here and play. And when they came, I knew they were coming because they, you know, the radio station. So I went to see him, and that's how we got back together. And he was the only one that really helped me a little bit, but it wasn't much because it was only when he came down here to play. So it was like it was sort of like sometimes like when you come over here to visit us, like today, you know, it was like before the dance we'll get together and he would show me a little bit, and that was it. But I never had anybody on a regular basis, like once a week a thing, you know, never. So it was basically mostly my my own way of teaching myself in a way, and that was it. And so I'm sort of proud of that, but at the same time I wish I could have had somebody, because I would have learned sooner, and I could have probably learned a little bit more of a technique that that I see in other people play that I don't know it yet. Up to this day I don't know it yet that I like to learn. So that I have a lot to learn still, that I know, and I love accordion, I love music, so I wanna learn as much as I can.
Yeah. Okay, let's close it up.
All right.